insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Good morning and a happy Monday morning to you. I hope you had a great weekend, and I'm glad you're here. Thank you for listening to the program, and here's the number to dial to be on the air. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. That number is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. I thought I'd start with this cheerful email that came in recently. This is from Bob. You say you're just a man with a microphone, but you know you influence millions of listeners. You say you are not political, but obviously you base everything about voting through the gauntlet of pro-life. Gauntlet's a glove, by the way. I don't know that you would look through a glove. Lens? Could that be the word you're thinking of, Bob? Maybe. But not gauntlet. You and so many others do this without realizing that you are being duped by politicians, people who will garner your support by changing their public positions to yours only to get your vote. Some of these politicians are great deceivers who rob us all, not by actually representing the best interests of the company, of the country, excuse me, but actually care only to get power and to benefit a small group of people and themselves. You do the country, he's speaking to me here, you do the country a great disservice by supporting these kinds of politicians without looking at the other policies they support and only base your support on the abortion question. You also seem to use music in a strange way, choosing performers and songs that would not like you, using them to push your political agenda, which is strongly aligned with white Christian nationalism.
Come on, man.
It just descends into hilarity. Strongly aligned with white Christian nationalism taking over the country. Sincerely, Bob. Okay, Bob. Well, I'm tempted to just say whatever and move on to other things, but I'll offer a few thoughts. Number one, if you actually listen to this program, and it kind of sounds like you don't, but if you actually did listen to the program, you would very rarely, if ever, hear me talking about anything political. And that's because people like you get very antsy, they get very uptight, they get very angry. And so as a way to be, you know, accommodating, I typically never talk about politics, and I try, not always successfully, depending upon what's going on in the news cycle. Sometimes you just can't help it. You have to talk about political figures. But I definitely am not basing everything through nonsense like white Christian nationalism and all of these other things. I'm just trying to do a radio show here, answer questions, give my opinion. It's okay for you to have an opinion, right? Well, don't begrudge me my opinion. So I get it. You hate certain politicians. You hate things like that. That's okay. I hope you have a nice life. I hope you'll keep listening to the program too. But really listen would be my advice, Rob, as opposed to having your guard up and your, you know, you're ready to judge and be angry. Why not just listen and think about some of the things we talk about here? Pro-life, yeah. Guilty as charged. I'm an abolitionist, and I am anti-slavery. I'm anti-abortion. So, yeah, that's absolutely front and center. So guilty as charged on that point, and I don't for a moment back away from that. I would say thank you for identifying a very important part of my attempt to talk about things with people. And because abortion is indeed a serious problem, you're going to continue to hear me speak out about it. Thank you, Bob, for taking time to write to me. I appreciate that too. 888-914-9149. We'll go first to Emma, who's 11 in California. Good morning, Emma. Welcome to the program. Let's see. Can we get Emma?
Yeah.
There we go. Okay. Good morning, Emma. Hi.
My question is, how many biological kids did Adam and Eve have?
We don't have a number. We don't know exactly how many they had, but they definitely had other children and probably, probably many other children. We have a couple of them named for us, three of them. So we know that Cain and Abel and Seth, those are the three that are named for us. And then we know, because the Bible says that Adam and Eve, after they were thrown out of the Garden of Eden, that they had other children. It just doesn't tell us the names of those children or how many of them there were. So we can guess, but we don't know for sure.
Okay. And are there any, like, non-biological kids they have?
How do you mean that, non-biological kids? How do you mean that?
Like, I'm going to, like, search it up. It said that they had, like, a couple of biological kids and then non-biological kids.
Okay. Where did you see that? I'm not familiar with that claim.
On Safari.
Safari. I mean, I don't mean the browser. I mean, was it like an article?
No, online? It was just like, no. Well, yeah, it was online. Like, it just popped up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't pay no never mind to that. If you want the biblical information, you'll read that in Genesis chapter 3, 4, and 5. And there we're just told that Adam and Eve had many children. I don't know if it uses the word many. It just says they had children. So, but when you think about a biological child, it means that the child comes from that mother and that father, like you come from your mother and father. You know, that would be the definition of a biological child. So there weren't other children. I mean, let me ask you this question. Are you wondering if there was like another Adam and Eve or other Adams and Eveses besides Adam and Eve? And maybe children came from them? Is that part of your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of.
Okay, good. Well, that makes it a little clearer for me. So no, the church teaches, the Bible teaches that there was just one original human couple. We call them Adam and Eve. Those are the names given in the Bible. And from those first two human beings, all of the human race has descended. So everybody will all be traceable back to those two people, Adam and Eve. And here's one reason why that's very important, because original sin, you know about original sin, right? The fall of Adam and Eve?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's say that there were a bunch of different Adams and Eveses in different places. Well, then there could be no original sin, because there would be no way for that to be spread across a bunch of different people who may or may not have actually sinned. So part of the church's recognition that there was just one human couple, Adam and Eve, it relates very closely to the biblical doctrine of original sin, and how through Adam's fall, death and sin, as St. Paul says in Romans, entered the world through that sin. And our fallen state, our fallen nature, because of Adam and Eve, happened primarily because of what he did. And if there were multiple Adams and Eveses all over the place, then that wouldn't be possible. So the two are not the same thing, but they're related to each other. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And then I have like a non-topic question.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Do you think I deserve a phone?
I would have no way of knowing if you deserve a phone. You probably do. I mean, you sound like a wonderful girl, and I'm sure you're probably obedient to your parents, aren't you?
Yeah.
But if you listen to the program for any length of time, you'll hear me say that I think it's a terrible idea for parents to give a smartphone to their kids. Now, because you need to go to school, or if you're babysitting, or you're doing something where you're going to be away from home, I think it's fine for parents to give, say, a girl your age, 11 years old, a dumb phone. Do you know what a dumb phone is compared to a smartphone?
Yeah.
Okay, like a flip phone that can't get on the internet or can't do things like that. To me, as a father, I think that's fine, because you want to be able to get in touch with your daughter, or vice versa. But if you're talking about a smartphone, is that what you're talking about? Or is it just like a dumb phone?
A smartphone.
Yeah. I don't think it would be a good idea at all at your age. So if you want my opinion, that's my opinion. And I would suggest go ahead.
I have like practice, and then I have to go like my friends like every week to go like to the games and stuff.
Yeah, I'll bet. So you're busy with sports then, right?
Yeah.
Well, there is a company that's a good friend of Relevant Radio. We're good friends of them. It's called Charity Mobile. And if you remember that, just tell your mom or dad or mom and dad that they have those kind of flip phones that would be perfect for you. So you could call your mom or she could call you, but you wouldn't be able to get on the internet. See, the internet is really a problem. There's a lot of interesting things there. There are also a lot of really wicked and bad things there. And when you're 11, don't take offense at this, okay, Emma, because it's not intended to be insulting, but I was 11 once. I had no clue the bad things that are out there in the world. So it's better for you not to have the way to get out there where all those things are. It's better for you to wait. What are your parents saying?
My parents said that, me and my dad, we made a bet and said, if you said yeah, then he'd get me the phone.
Okay. So I'm
he listens
you,
to the show.
He must, yeah. I think he had a pretty good set of odds going into this bet, Emma. So I would say thumbs down to a smartphone. And if it's a really dumb phone, they can't do a whole lot other than make phone calls and maybe text. My opinion would be that would be okay. For me, of course. I'm just telling you my opinion because you asked me.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
You're welcome. Very nice to talk to you, Emma. What grade are you in?
Fifth.
Okay. So sixth grade starts in the fall. Awesome. Well, I'm glad that you called today, Emma. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. They had a bet.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Dad knew what you were going to say.
I'm pretty sure he did. Oh, well, that was nice. Yeah. I mean, I think I'm probably known for a few things, one of which is I'm anti-smartphones for kids. What do I always say? It's like handing them a stick of dynamite.
I did not take your advice, and we allowed our children to get phones when they turned 13, and it's one of my greatest regrets.
Yeah, I'm not to say I told you so, and I'm not here to say that, but boy, what a tough lesson to learn after the fact, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, I can see it on your face. Well, I mean, I lost that battle with our youngest son, too. I mean, it was just clamoring. I mean, he was 15 at that point, clamoring. All my friends, everybody's got them. I'm the weirdo. I'm the one guy who doesn't have it. And I was steadfast the whole time. Well, no, you can't. You just can't.
And he's not lying. I mean, all of his friends probably did have a phone. Like, that's real.
Yes.
But I didn't know about these Charity Mobile flip phones. If I would have known.
Let me tell you.
I would have pushed and pushed for that. It would have been a nice compromise.
Charity Mobile. Here's how people can check that out. I'm with Charity Mobile, by the way, and you are too, Cyrus. That's cool. So if you go to the show page, relevantradio.com/Patrick, or even just the main page, relevantradio.com, under sponsorships, you'll see our national sponsors. It's kind of toward the right on the navigation bar. And you'll see Charity Mobile. It's, the nth one down, eighth, ninth one down. And it will give you a link directly to their website. Now, here's the thing about Charity Mobile that you should know. The thing I love the most about it is that they've got good offers for like a free phone when you sign up. You can port your existing phone number to them and all your data. I mean, that's all very easy to do. But they donate 5% of what you pay every month to pro-life charities. And Relevant Radio is one of them. So it could be Relevant Radio is the one that you want them to donate to. That would be great. But even if not, you can donate your money to pro-life causes. So you are actually pushing back against the powers of darkness, against the culture of death, as Pope John Paul II put it. And you're actually helping to fund these pro-life, pro-family charities. And thus far, at least over $2 million, actually, of Charity Mobile's income has been donated to pro-life causes. That means a lot to me personally, because I don't like the thought of even a teensy amount of my money going to support abortion. Oh, by the way, Bob's probably a little uncomfortable now, Cyrus, because I'm looking through the quote-unquote gauntlet of the pro-life cause as I'm doing this. But that's okay, Bob. That's okay. Come on over to our side, Bob. It's great. You'll love it. Charity Mobile, great company. I'm a member. Cyrus is a member. You can be a member. In fact, I think we have a, what's the promo code offer for a free phone when people switch, Cyrus? Is it Patrick? I think
Patrick.
It's Patrick.
Yeah.
So if you get in touch, charitymobile.com, tell them Patrick Madrid sent you and Cyrus. And tell them, hey, I'd like to talk about that free phone offer. Just mention my name, Patrick, and they'll get you connected. And parents, as you were bringing up, Cyrus, I'm glad we didn't lose track of this. If you want to outfit your kids for school with a phone that won't be like a stick of dynamite that will go off in due time, it will, trust me. You don't want to get them a smartphone. Charity Mobile has the kind of flip phones that are perfect for 11-year-old girls. And 11-year-old boys and 15-year-old boys. And you know what I'm saying? So I would definitely check them out and tell them that you want to give your 5% of your monthly plan to a charity of your choice. I think that's
great. Almost ingenious right there.
I would agree with that. What was that website again, Cyrus?
RelevantRadio.com?
No. CharityMobile.com.
Oh, well, yeah. You can find out all about Charity Mobile at Relevant Radio, too.
There you go. RelevantRadio.com and look under sponsors. You'll find it there.
Fact.
888-914-9149. Let's go to Diana in Pennsylvania. Hi, Diana.
Hello, Patrick. I have a question. A local parish has started a group, and it's called Living in the Divine World with Larisa Picaretta.
Oh, boy.
I never heard anything about it. Have any knowledge on that?
I do. I mean, I'm not an expert in it, but over the years, I've kept an eye on it, and I've read a few of her writings. I think it came up on the show last week, if I'm not mistaken. There are some just odd, and I would argue even erroneous, theological claims associated with the kingdom of the divine will, so-called, mm-hmm. that supersede things given to us in divine revelation. And sort of purport to supersede everything that we've known to be true, that this is some mm-hmm. sort of like a new era of living in God's will. And mm-hmm. I've always found it problematic. I've never really understood why people get so revved up about it. And I did take note of the fact this past week, for whatever it's worth, I mean, who knows in the big mm-hmm. picture what it's worth, but Luisa Picaretta's cause for canonization was, appeared to be at least abrupt in the way that it was discontinued. They stopped it. Now, there wasn't much detail associated with that announcement, so I don't know the specifics of maybe was this because the deeper they dug, the more problems they found, and maybe on that basis, or could be something else. I don't know, and I don't want to give any incorrect information. But I personally would just skirt around that and, you know, just enjoy a good Catholic traditional devotion or study group or something like that. I don't think this is worthwhile.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I just wanted to verify that. I didn't want to jump into something and be sorry. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Patrick. I appreciate your input.
You're welcome, Diane. I would suggest if you're interested in articles on the topic, Catholic Answers has done back when I was publishing Envoy magazine years ago, we did at least one, if not two articles critiquing the Divine Will movement. Those are not readily accessible right now. So in the meantime, I do believe Catholic Answers may have some of those, of their own versions of those critiques that you could take a look at. Their website is catholic.com. Thanks, Diana. We'll take a break and we'll come right back. If you get a busy signal, as often happens, because the phone lines do get crowded, just keep hitting redial. Oh, look, we had a line open up right now, so you can call 888-914-9149 and jump right in. I'll be right back.
Come on, man. You're old enough to make your own decisions. It's time you started listening to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. You know what I mean?
This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and RelevantRadio.com.
Oh, yeah. I watch this on TV. Man, I think about the endless hours of watching TV. I wish I could get those back. You can't, though.
Nope. Yeah, all the time I spent watching Saved by the Bell, just wasted, gone hours.
Have you, is that Nickelodeon?
No, I know, I think I know what you're about to bring up. But no, that's different.
Quiet on the Set, we watched that.
Oh, that's, no.
That's the Nickelodeon expose. And I immediately checked in with all my adult kids, you know, like, did you guys watch Nickelodeon? And they did, like back in the 90s. And so I sent them a link to this four-part, is it on HBO? I forget, or Max, one of those two. But it's all about just the behind-the-scenes sexual exploitation of children who are actors, kid actors, on this TV show. Well, a variety of different TV shows on Nickelodeon. So if you come from the 90s, if you were a kid in the 90s, if you had kids in the 90s, and you want to know a bit more about what went on behind the scenes and just some really, it's bad. But I'm glad it's coming to light, quite frankly. And I have to imagine that if it was that bad in the 90s, I can't imagine what it could be like now, God forbid. So, but that's not what you're talking about, Cyrus. Saved by the Bell, that was a sitcom, right? It was a kid's sitcom?
Yeah, it kind of is the moment where live action replaced Saturday morning cartoons. It's a sad time in our in our history.
So live action, Saved by the Bell was live action? I thought it was like a Michael J. Fox TV show that was Family Ties or something like that.
Those were the 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock p.m. shows.
That's
so Family
true.
Ties and there's did I do that? I can't even think of what these shows
Urkel?
Are called.
Urkel?
Yeah, that was Urkel. Urkel? But that's not the name of the show. Okay. Family Matters.
Okay.
Yeah, all of that stuff.
But the ones you're talking about would be like a daytime show that kids would.
It was a Saturday morning. It was, for me, it was a Saturday morning show.
Okay.
Nobody nobody cares about this.
You'd be surprised. I bet you'd be surprised how many people, you know, when they think back on all the time they spent watching television, you know, even if just
so
for that reason.
So many wasted hours and the commercials. That's one thing I don't watch anymore. I do not watch commercials. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since I've seen a commercial. It's like, well, what about the Super Bowl? I didn't watch it.
Yeah. You're better off. That's for sure. We don't watch any network TV at all, ever. It's been years and years and years since we've done that. It's all pick and choose. It's a la carte now. On YouTube and other platforms that you can just zero in with. But even there, they put the commercials in, which I don't like. You can't get away from it.
Can't.
Anyway, well, thank you. 888-914-9149. I did find during the break an article on the Divine Will Movement. So you're thinking, okay, Patrick was somewhat vague, not intentionally, it's just I didn't have a lot of time to dig in. But if you want an article critiquing the claims of the Divine Will Movement. There is one here on Tim Staples' website. I thought it would be on the Catholic Answers website. Turns out it's on his website, and we're going to link to it on the show Twitter feed at P Madrid Show. It's called Luisa Picaretta and the Divine Will. Now, Tim mentions in the early part of this article that there was an article written by his brother, Father Terry Staples. That's actually the article that we had first in Envoy magazine back in the day. So I want to just check and see if he has a link to that article, or this may be a synthesis of that article. Yeah, this appears to be a synthesis of his brother Terry's article and contributions of his own. So if you want something you can sink your teeth into and say, well, I'd like to know what specifically are some of the problems with the so-called Kingdom of the Divine Will movement, this article will help you. It'll get you started. And there are a few footnotes at the bottom that can take you further if you're interested in doing that. And as I say, that'll be available on the show Twitter feed at P Madrid Show. Let's get back to the phones. We'll go to Brian in Pittsburgh. Good morning, Brian. Happy Monday morning to you.
Happy Monday. I am looking for something to back me up in being pro-life, whether it be biblically based or something in canon law, you know, for the Catholic people that might be listening. I seem to remember something back in the Old Testament about Jewish people not getting abortions, but can't recall myself, so asking you.
Okay, I want to make sure I understand exactly what you're asking me. Are you asking me? I'm not sure what you're asking me, so can you just clarify it?
Does the Bible say anywhere don't have an abortion? Does canon law say abortions are bad? Don't do it.
I got it. Okay, that makes sense to me now. Thank you. Well, yes. I mean, of course, the Bible is really clear that we are not to kill. Thou shalt not kill. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. And the more, you might say, nuanced interpretation of this, thou shalt not kill, is thou shalt not murder. The word in Hebrew that's used there is not kill. It's the word for murder. Rasa, according to Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, so I have no standing in that language, but I can see here in the tools that that's what it's called. That's the word that's used. So thou shalt not murder. And we can say that that would encompass any form of deliberately taking the life of an innocent person. That would be the definition of murder. So whether that's murdering a million people in a population center by a thermonuclear bomb, or murdering people in a kibbutz in Israel, early one morning coming in and slaying them, or murdering the life of an unborn child in the womb, they would all fall under that umbrella commandment of thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill. So there's that. Now, if you look in canon law online, so the code of canon law is available online, and it's very easy. All you would have to do is just do a word search for the word abortion, and you will find that abortion in this case is, in the case of canon law, that is considered a canonical crime. It's not only a heinous sin, but also a canonical crime. So it carries with it the punishment of excommunication, both for the mother, if she intentionally does this, and for anyone who directly helps her procure it. So the physician, the attending nurse, the person helping the women go into the clinic to get abortions. I mean, it could become rather expansive. But that topic is definitely part of the church's law, if that's what you're looking for.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you. I'm going to do the word search on abortion in canon law.
Okay. And it's available at the Vatican website, so vatican.va, if you want to get it straight from the horse's mouth. And it's a good resource to have. I mean, few people are canon lawyers, but to the extent that you want to go through and see what these canons actually say, you'll find it there.
Yes. having some problems in my local parish and would like to have a little backup rather than just the Ten Commandments aren't enough, but for some people, they are obviously not.
And no, isn't that strange? And they want to defend in some, and I don't know who the people are specifically that you're talking about, but I've met people who really want to defend abortion for some strange reason. I've never understood that.
No, and it's hurting me right now, and it's all the way up to somebody who's a deacon. So I'm going to have to do more research after I get this research into how can you defend this in your position, right?
Exactly. So this is, I mean, let's not get specific here for the sake of people's privacy. But is this a deacon who's promoting this notion, like, publicly to the parish, or is it just a private opinion that he shared with you?
I will say he when asked about, in private, when asked about being pro-life, what does that mean? And he explained everything that pro-life might mean, except for abortion.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, what about kind of a big one here? You're actually murdering the innocent. And he said, yeah, but people don't make enough money, right? Look at the minimum wage. Look at racism. And I'm like, okay.
He's deflecting.
Absolutely. And then what we do and have been doing for years and years as a family, thankfully there's a bunch of kids, God has blessed us, and we hand out flyers maybe around election time with, you know, nonpartisan 501c3 people that put out pro-life flyers. And
did he get on your case for doing that?
This is the deacon that runs out and says, you can't do that. And I say, well, this is what we do. And, you know, have a good day. Sorry.
Yeah. I'll offer an insight, if I may, Brian, and it may have no bearing whatsoever on this particular gentleman. Only God knows. Okay. But in my experience over the years, I have found not uncommonly that Catholic people who defend abortion, or they try to deflect, or they in some way, they won't say abortion is wrong. Not uncommonly, it's because that person has some abortion connected to him or her. And so I have met men who pressured their daughters into having an abortion, or pressured their wives into having an abortion, or pressured their mistresses, in the case of some married men, into having abortions. And this, of course, is true when it comes to women, mothers or grandmothers or aunts or sisters who pressured a young girl into having an abortion. And this is like the submerged part of an iceberg. It's far bigger than we might imagine. It's like we see the tip of the iceberg, but this phenomenon runs wide and deep. So as I say, I have no way of knowing it, and I don't want to speculate about whether or not this particular man may have that in his own background, but it's entirely possible that the average Catholic person you meet who just won't say that abortion is wrong, or they defend it, what have you, it would not be, to my mind, at all surprising if there was an abortion in the background there.
And I guess that makes it even even sadder, right, to think that they're doing that publicly and privately, and then have that weight on their heart, on their soul,
through life. I can't imagine going through life with that cognitive dissonance. So at the very least, we should pray for people in that situation. They won't know that you're praying for them. But who knows? Maybe this confrontation that you're having could lead to a breakthrough moment. Now, again, I really feel the need to emphasize, I'm not accusing this deacon of anything, because I don't know him. I don't know anything about him. All I'm saying is that in my own experience, I've seen this happen before. So there are different levels of people's involvement with abortion. For some, it's just purely ideological. They've never had one. They've never encouraged anyone to have one. They just think it's fine. There are other people who are more entangled. And for that reason, I think a lot of the, at times even rabid, defense of abortion comes from that deeper issue. Anyway, I'll just leave it at that. But I hope our conversation is helpful to you, Brian, in helping this man see. Now, one last thing before you go. Catechism has a fair amount to say about this issue. So if you want to give additional, like, chapter and verse, you could begin in paragraph 2270 and just read, you know, dozens of verses, or not verses, paragraphs in the Catechism that deal with this issue. So I would say, looking at 2271, you could point out a couple of things. Since the first century, the Church has affirmed the moral evil of every procured abortion. This teaching has not changed and remains unchangeable. Direct abortion, that is to say, abortion willed either as an end or a means, is gravely contrary to the moral law. And he gives some citations here, some quotes from the early church, such as, "You shall not kill the embryo by abortion and shall not cause the newborn to perish. God, the Lord of life, has entrusted to men the noble mission of safeguarding life, and men, including deacons, must carry it out in a manner worthy of themselves. Life must be protected with the utmost care from the moment of conception. Abortion and infanticide are abominable crimes." Paragraph 2272, and I'll leave it at this. Formal cooperation in an abortion constitutes a grave offense. The church teaches that the canonical penalty of excommunication to this crime against human life is what I mentioned a moment ago, that excommunication that canon law talks about. A person who procures a completed abortion incurs excommunication laete sententiae, which is, we would roughly translate that into English as you auto-excommunicate yourself. It doesn't require like a formal decree from the church. By doing this act, you automatically excommunicate yourself by the very commission of the offense. And subject to the conditions provided by canon law, the church does not thereby intend to restrict the scope of mercy. Rather, she makes clear the gravity of the crime committed, the irreparable harm done to the innocent who is put to death, as well as to the parents and the whole of society. So there's some more chapter and verse and plenty more besides that in the Catechism. And I hope that's helpful to you. Thank you, Brian. Interesting conversation and plenty more of that ahead right after this quick timeout. Call this number. I'll get you on the air, 888-914-9149. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. I hope you'll join me this June for sponsor Christendom College's Summer Consortium. I'll serve as MC for the weekend, celebrating the legacy of St. John Paul II. Register at jp2weekend.com. That's JP, the number 2, weekend.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Good vibes on a Monday morning right here on the Patrick Madrid Show. And you can be part of the experience when you call 888-914-9149. I'd love to hear from you. 888-914-9149. Susan in Gaithersburg just sent me a note. Patrick, I believe you hit the nail on the head saying that many people, particularly in the church, who support abortion are possibly connected with an abortion in some way. It reminds me of a description of a priest, Father Tom Forrest, may he rest in peace, once gave, saying, "I'm sorry means if I had it to do again, I would not do it. This is the mercy God holds out to everyone in the position you described. Thanks be to God and happy Easter." Well, thank you for that, Susan. I agree. You know, there's no sin that's too big for God's grace. Your sin is not more powerful than God's grace. But if you are tired of living, you know, you living that way, living with that burden of a guilty conscience and all of that, I mean, just give it up. Go to confession. Repent of the sin, acknowledge it. Start the healing. Why not? What have you got to lose? You got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Mary writes in a moment ago and said, "Patrick, the Didache mentions thou shalt not procure an abortion." Yes, it does. And I quoted that on the air, Mary. It's the passage that's quoted in the Catechism paragraph that I read. Thou shalt not procure an abortion. That is in the early church. That's true. Thank you. 888-914-9149. How about Francisco now in Huntsville, Alabama? Hi, Francisco.
Hi, Patrick. God bless you all.
Thank you.
What you doing?
Thank you.
It's a blind man. Remember I called you about the James Bible?
King James Bible?
Yeah, it's me.
Okay.
And I'm calling for the almost the same thing, but I got a modern version cartridge. So which one do I need to listen to?
I remember you telling me about the cartridges.
Yeah.
Are you blind, as I recall? Is that right?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Blind.
I would recommend that you get a Catholic Bible.
But there's the problem. They can send it to me. The problem is that sometimes I lose stuff that people gave me. So I don't want to lose it. You know, sometimes I forget about it. So I asked them if I can send them a blank cartridge so they can make a copy for me. They say no. And I said, what?
Yeah. Well, here's what I can tell you. I understand the difficulty of the situation that you're in. There is a Cyrus, if you wouldn't mind looking this up for me, and even if I don't have the info at the moment, Francisco, we'll announce it in a little bit. There is a Catholic organization that supplies audiobooks for the blind, and they have certainly Catholic Bibles and whatnot. So I realize that the system you're using involves a cartridge, and perhaps this organization also can accommodate that. I don't know offhand. Cyrus is looking that up for me. But when we have that info, I would recommend you get in touch with them because they specialize in bringing you Catholic materials, including and maybe most especially the Catholic Bible. You mentioned the King James Bible. I mean, the King James Bible it's okay as far as it goes. It's a majestic English translation that came out after the Catholic Douay-Rheims version of the Bible, or what we would call the Catholic Douay-Rheims, or different versions of it. And it's Protestant, and it's missing 7 books from the Old Testament, so it has some deficiencies there. So it's not like it's not an evil translation or anything like that, but it's not Catholic, and it's not approved by the Catholic Church. So that would be my advice, would be get in touch. And thank you, Cyrus. So Cyrus gave me this information here. It's XavierSocietyForTheBlind.org. Xavier, XAVIER, XavierSocietyForTheBlind.org. And in that website, you'll be able to, or a friend can help you, get the information about what audio offerings they have. And I do know that they have the Holy Bible. So once again, XavierSocietyForTheBlind.org. And here's a phone number too. It's 212-473-7800, 212-473-7800. I think that's going to help you real good, Francisco. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Gary now in Denver. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. Thanks for what I'm dealing with is I'm a senior citizen, and I've been evil and sinning my entire life. Mostly stealing and,
I mean, like, you know, breaking and entering kind of thing, or shoplifting or what?
Yeah. More like shoplifting. And, you know, I don't have any esteem for that reason. And in my mind, I think I want to change, but I know I won't, because I don't know why. I'm just an angry person, and it's kind of the way I've been. And this is, I tried going to confession a year ago. I went to confession, and I thought it might help me. It didn't really. It was just sort of, you know, perfunctory. And I've been reading the Bible.
Have you ever been caught?
Yeah, a couple times, but, you know, you don't really get punished for that kind of thing.
Okay, so you haven't, like, done time or anything like that. Has it been petty theft all along, or anything big?
Oh, it's always been petty. But here's the root of my question. I think I'm doomed to go to hell, and this is why. The way my mind is thinking is, I can continue sinning until an hour before I die, and because God will forgive me my sins, I can sin except for 1 hour, my last hour of life, and I'll go to heaven. And that's why I think I'm doomed, because that's the way my mind works. And I'm being very honest with you.
Yeah.
So am I doomed if that's the way I think?
Yes, you're doomed. You are totally 100% doomed if that's the way you think. So I would encourage you, stop thinking that way, because you will go to hell. No question about it. And the main reason, Gary, is you can't calculate when your life will end. You can't say, no one can, that your life will end on a certain day, and, you know, you can sin all you want until 1 hour before, then you'll change your mind. First of all, you don't know that you will change your mind. part of the problem is the sin of presumption. It's a sin to presume on God's mercy this way. It's a form of pride, really. And so, yeah, you've got it nailed. You are doomed. The road you're on right now is this 8-lane superhighway to hell. Now, you can get off that highway to hell if you want to. But if you don't want to, that's where you're ending up. I hate to say it to you, but it's true. So if you want off, I would propose this to you. You can stop it if you want to. If you don't want to stop, you won't stop. If you really want to stop and you want to put God above everything else, including this sin, then you have it within your power to stop. Just don't do it. Now, you need God's grace, and maybe there's a 12-step program that can help you, like CatholicInRecovery.com. They're parish-based. You might want to check in with them and say, I've got a compulsion when it comes to stealing, and I'm trying to get past it, and I can't. They can help you. But ultimately, that's the long and the short of it. You're heading to hell right now, and that's where you'll end up, or you can stop before it's too late. There's really no third option.
Yeah. Well, no, I appreciate it. It's CatholicInRecovery.com.
Yes. They are a fairly recently organized group. I mean, I don't know how long they've been out there, but they've been out there for years now, and they're parish-based, but they have really good materials. It's a 12-step approach to sexual addictions, to alcohol, drugs. I haven't heard them talk about thievery, but I would think that the same kind of approach could work in this case. It's worth a try anyway.
All right. I appreciate your directness. I've been wanting to tell somebody this for a while, and I'm going to try to change. I really hope I can have the self-discipline to do that.
Do you find that you are most active when it comes to theft when you're going into stores?
Yes.
Stop going into stores. Order your stuff on Amazon. Have it delivered to you. Get Instacart on your phone. Have your food delivered to you. And what did Jesus say? He says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. For better to go into eternal life missing a hand or a foot or an eye than to be thrown into hell with your eye and your feet and your hands. And he's speaking figuratively, but he means it. And so if your occasion of sin is walking into a retail store where you can grab stuff and steal it, just never set foot in a store again. And we live in a culture now where you could easily do that. You could buy everything online and never put yourself in that position where you'd be tempted to steal. I know it sounds insane, but you've kind of gotten yourself into an insane situation here. So if that's what it takes, do that.
Okay. Do you think it's not too late to change?
No, I don't. I really don't. I mean, I hope not. But ultimately, the only way to change is if you're willing to.
And I know that. I know that.
Yeah. And you said you're a senior citizen. I mean, you're not far from death anyway. So it's not like you've got a lot of runway ahead of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know people change, and I guess I just need some help, but I can't do this on my own.
Understandable. And I'm here to help you. I can be kind of pointing you in the right direction. Get in touch with Catholic in Recovery. They certainly can give you more practical advice, like where there's a meeting near you. I'm sure there are any number of them in the Denver area. I mean, are you happy, Gary, really and truly happy living this way?
No, I'm very unhappy.
Yeah. Wouldn't you like to be happy?
Yes.
So you have to stop. I'm serious when I say order everything online, order everything on Amazon. And hey, Amazon haters, you don't need to send me an email about how bad Amazon is. And Gary, order your stuff online. Get your groceries from Instacart or some other service like that. And just say that I'm done going into stores because I know what happens. That's part of the healing process.
Okay. I appreciate your advice, Patrick.
All right, Gary. I know you can do it because God will help you, but you have to let him. You have to be willing. And you have to be ruthless, quite frankly. You have to stomp on this hard and just say, I'm done with this henceforth and forever. I'm not going to do this anymore. And then don't.
Okay. Thank you for that encouragement.
You're welcome, Gary. I hope you'll call me down the road and give me a status report. You don't owe me a status report, but I'm certainly concerned, and I'd be happy to hear what's going on.
Okay, I will. I'll think about that. Thank you.
Okay, sounds good, Gary. Thank you. CatholicInRecovery.com. If you have a sexual compulsion, you have a problem with alcohol, do you have a problem with substance abuse like drugs, it never occurred to me that there could be a problem that this could help when it comes to something like shoplifting, but I don't see why not. So if you or somebody you know is in the grip of a compulsive, repetitive, continuous, chronic sin like those, check them out. You've got nothing to lose. CatholicInRecovery.com. I'll be right back.